in Lagos, Nigeria. You can watch us live on Facebook. You can also watch on YouTube as we speak. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join our conversation today. This morning, we are continuing with our conversation on female leadership in politics in Nigeria, the future of female leadership in politics in Nigeria. This is the third installment. We've started about 3 weeks ago, and we will be continuing this morning. So let's have you know that you are very welcome to join our conversation today as we go on in with this conversation. So we kicked off this subject some 2 weeks back, and it's been quite engaging. Nigeria has been recording low participation of women in both elective and appointed positions. It appears women are underrepresented in every single facet of life in this country. It seems as though women are treated like second-class citizens in their own country, despite making up half of the population. And I ask the question, why? Like, seriously, why? Women, when it comes to political engagement, they are on the forefront. They are everywhere. They canvass, they dance, they move around, they convince people to be part of politics. So why? Why is it that women would play a more participatory role in the election process, from registration to campaign to rally? You know, you have seen it before. But when it comes to representation, there is a huge gap when it comes to women sitting in that chair as an appointed officer or as an elected public official. You don't see enough of them. What are the reasons for the low representation, or if you like, success of women in politics in Nigeria? Are women bending to the conventional practices that are unsuitable for them? I mean, I have loads of questions. How do we even enhance opportunities for women in political parties? Oh, well, there is a growing concern to many Nigerians. Nigerians are calling for greater female participation in terms of candidature, in terms of holders of elective and appointive positions, apart from their active involvement in the political and electoral processes as voters. Early in August 2021, Minister of State for Labour and Employment, Festus Keyamo, during a three-day workshop on advocacy and communication for women's cooperatives and economic empowerment collectives, organized by the Development Research and Projects Centre, DRPC. They had a partnership with Powered at that time. Festus Keyamo said, "It is time for political parties to deliberately leave some offices open for women to contest. If it doesn't make any sense to cut down 50% cost of forms or make it free for the women, and we'll leave men populating the race." He said it's a mockery. That's what he said. He said it's a mockery. Leave these things open for women. Don't say that you reduce the sale of form. He said that is not enough. You can see I'm quite passionate about this. Because listen, this borders on our development, on our survival. If we want to make a headway in our political dealings, we must include, fully include women in our politics. Yes, I know the argument. Nobody is stopping them. But look around you. Look around. Perhaps you're even one of those people that is stopping them. Let's put a call through to my guest again. We lost her connection. So Esther, let's call my guest again. Let's see if we can get her back on the line. We'll be speaking with Cynthia Mbamalu. She's a lawyer. She's the director of programs, Youth Initiative of Advocacy, Growth and Investment, YAGA Africa. She is also one of the leaders of the Not Too Young to Run movement and the Ready to Run campaign as well. She will be joining us on the show this morning. But let's take a quick break, though. Let's take a quick break and see if we can connect back with Cynthia after now. Do join us again.
This is The Voice Note on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
It was why we sang and danced in the night, why we lit fires that burned through the night, why we chose a flag colored in freedom, for now we would be kings in this our kingdom. But our first head of state was Igbo, and the next, though a soldier, also Igbo. Then Angas ruled, followed by Hausa, and then came the turn of Yoruba. Then Hausa came back for a term cut short, when power was taken by an Hausa gunshot. Then Gwari came.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, we have our guests back on the line. Cynthia, good morning to you. Thank you for rejoining us.
Yeah, good morning.
It's good to have you here. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, fantastic. Welcome to the show. How was your night, Cynthia?
It was good, thank you. And how was yours?
It was okay. It was okay. Only for me to wake up and hear that Facebook and the rest of them were down last night.
How did you did not know.
How did you cope with that?
It was just to show the power of social media. A lot of people were disconnected.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How did you paddle through it? How did you manage it?
I learned to call people and send SMS rather than WhatsApp messages.
In just a few hours. Come on, Cynthia.
a few hours could change a lot of things.
I know, right?
Yes.
I know. All right. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, let's get on with this conversation. This is the third installment we're having on this conversation about the future of women in politics. So democracy is about fair representation of all interest groups in society. And, you know, right now, there's no gainsaying. We know that women have low representation in the political space. What do you think is responsible for the underrepresentation of women in politics in Nigeria?
Well, thanks. Very important question. And I'm glad we're having it now because we're heading towards the next general election.
That's right.
I think, like you said, underrepresentation of women, it has somehow become a norm, actually. It's almost like when you have an appointment to say, oh, there was one woman or just two women, you know? And I think it has a lot to do with our history, where we're coming from, because you look at the history of exclusion and a history of patriarchy in our society.
Right.
And this is not just a Nigerian problem. It's a general problem because for different parts of the world, it took a lot of time for women to be included in political making decisions. And when the Americans were working on their constitution, Abigail Adams actually wrote to her husband then and said, please, be fair to the women as you write the constitution, because a man by nature will be tyrant if you don't think about women. And that was when they were working on their constitution.
Right.
So you can imagine Nigeria. So for one of our history, if you look at our context, within the country, I'd mentioned the patriarchy is also the conversation around our social orientation, our process of social integration in the society. So if you've, at childhood, you've told the girls that their role is to grow up to be mothers, to grow up to be wives, and not necessarily to see themselves as leaders. So even in the roles we assign to boys and girls at the family level, we begin to already separate and exclude the girls from decisions that ordinarily they should be part of. You begin to give girls roles that are only about home making, taking care of the home, and not necessarily about how to, yes, you can take care of the home, but you can also be much more than just a wife and a mother.
Right.
But for boys, you train them to be, you know, to think they can be presidents, they can be governors. So if you think about those who say they want to be presidents, you're always thinking about the boy. Even when we tell our girls, when they are born, say, you'll be the first lady.
Yeah.
You hardly hear from saying, oh, you'd be the president.
You know,
even from the family, our social orientation already, that gendered role in our mindset that informs the way we raise boys and girls, which affects how women, when girls, when they become women, engage and participate in political making processes. So it's easier for girls to dream about their wedding day than for boys to dream about their wedding day. So this is another thing, our process of social orientation.
Right.
That is in addition to the patriarchal nature. The other part is our political system. Because when you have a political system that emits self, is designed to exclude a majority of this population. So if we talk about it, it's beyond just women. It's also about young people. It's also about minority.
Right.
So you see there's a tendency for the majority voice or the majority to take over. And in this situation, male dominance has sort of tailored our political system. So the system in itself from our history has been dominated by men.
Right.
And it's taking a lot of time for them to understand that women are also equal partners in leadership and that you need to open up the space. So the political system in itself is designed to favor the men. And then our legal system, because you need to look at what laws exist. Do our laws ensure women inclusion? So that is also where there's a fault. Our laws currently, from the Constitution to existing legislation, do not have special provisions to include women. And what laws do? You know, they say laws are instruments of social engineering. It's an instrument that sets the society. It builds or molds the society to where the society ought to be. Now, why I had to bring in law as the last? Because you think of patriarchy, you think of social orientation, you think of, I forgot to mention our religious and cultural orientation.
Right.
You think of all of this.
Right.
Now, what law does is law helps manage the effects of patriarchy in the society, the effects of social orientation. It takes into consideration things that ordinarily society wouldn't have thought about by making provisions to accommodate everyone. That is why, for instance, when you talk about federal character, the society in itself has supported dominance of a particular region. So at first you think of just Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba, but Nigeria is beyond just Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba.
That's right.
But the law has introduced federal character to ensure inclusion of every ethnic group within the state. So you see, the law came to solve the problem, and that is why our legal framework currently has not taken into consideration all these challenges that exist that already create impediments for women inclusion in the political space by then providing special provisions to open up the space for women. So it's almost like the federal character. Which I'm asking that there is an affirmative action, because federal character is affirmative action. But now you have a law in the Constitution, you have a legislation that then includes women, making provisions, for instance, for appointments, you must have a percentage, a minimum of this representation of women. For employment, be it in the economic empowerment sector, for health, think of all the sectors that women are affected, that there is a gendered lens in legislation.
Right.
But so far, we don't have it. So our Constitution has not made special provisions to include women. Our laws have not made that. So you see, because we don't have the laws to solve this anomaly and build our society, we still have this challenge of underrepresentation. Just to throw in a bit, our Constitution, in fact, until 1979 Constitution, women in the North could not vote. It was until 1970. So you can even say that regionally, we've had a history of exclusion. So you would not, you'd see the women in the North had to fight hard and tough to have their voices heard. Until the 1979 Constitution came into place, they had the power to vote. So if you even look at representation, you would not be surprised that regions, for instance, if you look at the state of assembly in the whole of Northwestern states, seven states in the Northwest, only one state, Kaduna, has one woman in their state assembly. You can imagine that seven states in the Northwest, they are all male-dominated. You go to the Northeast, I think it's just, is it Gombe and Bauchi that has one each? Like, it's just a poor, because nationally, just 44 women out of the 991 seats in the state assemblies. So you can see that even regionally, the laws itself that did not enable women at the beginning, at onset, you can even see how that affects present-day Nigeria.
Right, Cynthia. And, you know, you mentioned something that really caught my attention the last time about, you know, what the factors that are responsible for the low representation of women in political leadership in Nigeria. But you also said something, let me quote you, you also said something, not on this show though, but you said something before that, let me quote you, you said, we know women can actually lead. Women running for elected positions to build their campaigns around issues Nigerians care about, and that affects them. Politics and leadership haven't really been a culture for women as it has been for men. We need to close the gender gap on women empowerment. And you said that actions will bring real change for Nigerian women. Tell me exactly what you mean by actions and who should take these actions.
Okay. So for me, action is three, I'll look at it from three dimensions.
Okay.
There is the part on the women, there is the part on the society,
okay,
and there is the part on government. So I'll start with women, because I'm also a young woman.
That's right.
Talking to other fellow young women, and also I'll move to society. And because they say leadership is about forcing
responsibility. You know what, Cynthia? You know what?
Yes?
Let's go to a quick break, so that you don't get interrupted while you're talking. Nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back from that break. It's 8:34 going on 8:35 this morning on the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. We've got about 15 more minutes to go with Cynthia Mbamalu. Cynthia Mbamalu is the director of programs Yaga Africa. She's one of the leaders of Not Too Young Too Wrong as well, the Not Too Young Too Wrong movement and the Ready to Run campaign. Cynthia, thank you again for joining us on the conversation this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Now let's get back to our conversation as to actions. Who should take these actions to begin to change the narrative to the women folk?
Yeah. Like I said, discussing earlier, I look at actions from three dimensions. First, for women, and second, for the society, and the third, for government. And I said for women, it's about first, because leadership is about taking responsibility first before you can enable others. You need to first step up. You need to first show that, yes, we can do this. And I think we need to, as women, we need to start learning to stand and to take a stand on issues, to start learning to showcase what we can do, to even join politics, because at the end, everything is determined by political decision. If we're not at that decision-making table, policies and laws that will be made would always be at our disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an opportunity before the next elections to begin to engage at the political party levels, engaging as voters, engaging as candidates, mm-hmm, supporting female candidates with the right capacity to lead, you know?
Right.
So that action is stepping out, taking a stand, taking a position, and then showing what we can do, interacting with our community, going back to our constituency, showing that, yes, we can do what we can provide that leadership. So is that first point on action, taking that first step, taking that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Then for the society, because we have a lot of women who have shown interest, who have taken that bold step, but the society has been really unfair to them. Mm-hmm. So within our society itself, we need to start taking action for the future of women in Nigeria. Already, women are at a disadvantage because of our history of discrimination and exclusion. So they are fighting five times as hard, more than their male counterparts in the same field and at the same level. So for the society, the way we raise our daughters, we need to raise our daughters to see themselves as leaders, as equal partners in development. We need to start building families that raise boys that understand that women and girls are equal partners and not subordinate, or rather are not subordinate or lesser citizens than they are. We also need to start identifying women who are doing great work,
right,
and supporting their ambition, supporting their work. Because if a woman has come to contest and you're asking her questions that you would not ask a male counterpart, you're already putting that woman at a disadvantage. focus on what she has to offer, focus on her leadership skills,
right.
Focus on her ability to meet you at your point of your need to understand your issues.
Right.
Because if we don't vote women in, no matter how much they contest, they wouldn't be, we wouldn't be into that, into the point of the levels of leadership.
Mm.
So the society, we need to change the way we view and treat women, the way we see and accept women as
right.
leaders.
Right.
Let us make women leadership a norm. And then government, because it, everything boils down to the policies and laws.
Mm.
If we do not have our government committing to the word, this year we celebrated International Women's Day.
That's right.
President, the National Assembly, both the Senate President and the Speaker of the National of the House of Representatives all made beautiful commitments to promote women inclusion. We need to see action reflected in the constitution-making process
right.
to include special provisions that would guarantee women representation in government and women appointment in government.
Mm.
So that is one, the constitution. The second is also legislation. There is an equal opportunities bill currently at the Senate. It's been introduced in the House of Representatives.
That's right.
We need that law passed. Because it's beyond just political representation. If women are not economically empowered, if they are not equally educated, if they are excluded at family level, if they cannot even make decisions about their health, if they don't have quality health services,
right.
healthcare services,
right.
it affects the way they compete, the way they interact, the way they live and thrive in the society.
Mm.
So the Equal Opportunities Bill just wants to create a society where women can thrive equally like their male counterparts. And we need that legislation passed. So the action from the government is about laws, constitution, policy reforms, because that is the only way the society would be tailored
right.
into the future that we needed to get to.
Right.
So for me, action is, like I said, it's three-dimension, and
okay.
one does not suffer. They all need to run and pari passu, that we need to run together if we want to really achieve a society where women are equally represented and where we can successfully close the gender gap.
Mm.
Because the more we have women excluded, the greater our challenges when it comes to underdevelopment, when it comes
right.
to poverty,
right.
when it comes to poor economy.
Mm.
If we don't get women in, we cannot achieve development. Because to achieve development, you need an equal participation of men and women in governance making, in governance processes and in decision making processes.
Right. So what we're going to do now is, I mean, I have about a few more questions to ask you, but because we have about 5 minutes more to spend with you, let's open up the telephone lines and get some few thoughts in. Then I can throw in my last question. Lagos is listening to us right now. Let's talk to Lagos. 0700 993 993 993. For the female only line, if you're a female, you're free to call this line. Don't mind the men, they have monopolized the other one. So you can call this other line, 01465-7190 for the ladies only. We're just going to take a few calls before we wrap up on the conversation this morning. Let's see who's here. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear
Hello?
Me? I can hear you. I can hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Not yes, but very faintly.
Oh, wow. Okay, let me do this. Can you hear me now? Oh, yeah, we lost that call eventually. Do try and call us back. I really, really am hoping that we can talk to you. Let's speak with Okoro, I think. Hi, Okoro, morning to you. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Andy Okoro.
Welcome.
Yeah, I heard the madam and all he said about woman empowerment.
Mm.
But my question and contribution is I have a wife
okay.
who cares for my children
okay,
and who is also submissive to me according to what the Bible says.
Okay.
How can she just say she wants to join politics and then be flying to Abuja for state to state and leave some other things behind? Will she do it without my permission? So that's why I think she's speaking a lot of grammar, which will not work.
Do you? Okay, morning. So just to be very clear, Andy, you will have a problem with a woman. Oh, yeah, he's gone. Cynthia, you heard Andy? Cynthia, are you with me?
Yes, I am. I can hear you.
Did you hear him?
Yes, I did.
I mean, this is some of the things that you mentioned earlier in your submission.
Yes.
Well, that's why I said it also has to do with religion and our culture.
Yeah.
And because there's also the fact that when we read, because I'm sure he's referring to the Bible, I can tell he's, because he said use the word submissive. If you read that particular passage of the Bible, it doesn't stop at submissive. It goes further. He said, men, love your wife as Christ loved the church, even to the point of giving his life for the church. Meaning that the requirement on men is even more than that for women. So I tell people that submission is not even that difficult. In fact, it is the easiest thing to do, because when you answer to your boss in the office, it doesn't mean you love your boss. But you say, when the boss says, don't do this, you do it. If the boss says, send us, send a memo, you send a memo.
Yeah.
So it's that is basically submission. Every human submits to one person at one point in time.
Right.
However, love is much more greater, meaning that if you love your wife, your focus would be on what makes her happy and how can we work together. Now, men who support their wives to achieve purpose, they even have greater blessings. And that is what is, because he made reference to this, to Christian scholars, I'm making reference to the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm also a student of the word.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to understand that the word itself, the religion was not designed to keep women aside. It was designed to give women leadership roles and positions. But most times, because of how we interpret it, we take the section that fits us, but we forget the other part. That even for men, you're expected to die for your wife, because Christ is what Christ did. You're expected to wash her feet, because Christ washed the feet of his disciples, and he said, do to others as I have done to you. But we forget that part of the Bible. And I think that was Christ showing leadership. That leadership doesn't necessarily mean power and hammer. It means, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean hammer all the time. It means understanding who you work with. It means enabling each other achieve a goal as joint, as a joint unit.
Yeah.
That is what family ought to be. And I think for my brother that has called, what you should ask yourself is how, if she wants to run for office, if she wants to be in politics, how does this benefit her and the society? There is nothing that says people cannot multitask. Imagine if he was told that he cannot achieve the goal he wants to achieve. How would he feel? Women are humans too. They have dreams and ambitions and emotions. So he should put himself in his wife's position and ask himself, if I want to go for this business deal and someone tells me no, how would I feel about that? What about women who their husbands, see, the day we lost Dr. Akunyili,
a lot
of people were crying and mourning because Dr. Chike Akunyili was one man that supported Dora Akunyili.
That's right.
Till she got to the highest position. You can, till date, that family's name will never be forgotten in Nigeria.
That's right.
Though he was murdered in a very horrific way. But the stories about him was how he stood by his wife till she got where she was. Look at Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala.
Right.
You will hear the stories about her husband. So you see that families thrive when men and women work together as husband and wife to achieve a particular goal.
Fact.
Not when one keeps one from achieving that goal. What happens is if a woman is kept from achieving her goal, resentment starts. Anger, frustration starts. One day, it all lets, and you let that out. And then I think that is what we need to start to understand, that women are humans, and that when we make decisions as a couple, that is about one single individual, it's two people coming together to make that decision for the society, for the family. And that is what is intended. It's not for one person. We're not saying women to fight men.
Yeah.
No. It's about equal partnership in development.
That's
and
right.
And we need to understand that, even from the Bible.
Cynthia, Joy, I don't know if Joy is still here. Let's see if Joy is still around. Joy, are you still here?
I want to reward you for waiting for this long ago.
Sorry, Joy.
The woman.
Sorry, no vex, eh? You know, I'm, you know, Joy, eh?
Okay, Mr. Sherry, see.
Yes.
Just like the last caller that spoke.
Yeah.
This is the problem most of the women are facing all over Nigeria. So women that want to come out to strive to go to to have, you know, they have a particular career in politics, but because of the kind of husband they have, because of the religion that we turn upside down, because they do not understand the Bible. And some of them also do not understand the Quran. So they hide under religion in order not to make their wife to come out. And some of them is either, one is ego, like thinking they're not to do that. Another one is that they are jealous of their wives. doing well.
Mm.
So sometimes they profess love for their wife, but I don't think they really understand what love is all about. So they think love is all about procreation, which is far from it. So this, in fact, it's going to take a lot of time before this can change, because our religion and culture is embedded together. So that's why it is very difficult for you to be able to disentangle culture from religion. Now, if you come to the southern part, we use the Christianity, we use the Bible, we turn it upside down, make men to come on. They say, oh, because the woman is disrespectful, oh, she's not she's not minding her family, so why would she want to do this? That's not what the Bible says. Meanwhile, it's turned upside down. When you go to the north, they use the Islam to make the woman, oh, you cannot come out, you are supposed to be indoor, and this and that. So sheriff and the resource person there, how will all these things be changed? Because even the political leaders, they themselves too, are also part of this problem, like the last man who spoke. They are also like that. Those in the House of Assembly, those our leaders in the top places, they are like that. The only place you see women strive is only in the corporate world. That's the only place you see women strive in Nigeria. But in if it's in the politics, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I don't know.
It's a tough road, Ravi. It's a tough one. Joy, thank you for talking to us. We're going to take one last call. Esther is joining us. Esther, hi. Morning to you.
Hello. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning. Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Esther. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now, I want to contribute to the subject on grants.
Yes, please.
Sheriff, I will not blame that man that falls. An average African man would think the way he's thinking. And I myself am in position right now.
Okay.
But I will never allow my husband to hold me back on any mission that I'm going to encounter. So, let me tell you that a prophet gave my husband a prophecy 3 years back that your wife will want to order a study. Can you hear me?
I'm with you, Esther.
Okay. So, but you will not let her. Don't ask me the reason.
Why?
He said, because you will feel that another man will steal her from you when she is away.
Oh.
So, and that has been his mindset. Not wanting me to do anything that will bring me house in the society. I'm not holding back, oh. It's either he accepts, allow me to go back to my study, further, and make myself something in the society. Or he let go of me. So you don't expect any man to easily let go of his wife, to come into politics, go into politics, traveling from one state to the other, traveling from one country to the other. Insecurity will not let that man to let go of his wife. But I pray may God help us in this country.
Okay.
I know when a woman gets there, she will do better than the men.
All right.
Thank you, and have a nice day.
Thank you, Esther, for calling. Appreciate it. Cynthia, we must go now. What will be your parting shots to the women, folks? I mean, you've heard my callers this morning.
Yeah, I think we need to understand that this is a process. Change does not happen immediately. It's a gradual process. So we need to remain resilient, determined and focused, and keep our eyes on the goal. And wherever we occupy a position of leadership, let us give our best, because we'll be assessed worse than they assess men. And they would always want me, because they don't want women to progress. It's easy for them to look for the flaws rather than the successes achieved. So even for all those, for women occupying leadership positions, we need to put in our best to make our mark or to create that impact. But for the society, we must understand that without women, we cannot have development. The issues we are having today is because Nigeria is flying with one wing as a bird. How can we get to our destination if all we're using is one wing? We can't even take off. We need to take off as a people to get our destination. But to do that, we need a balanced leadership that has men and women involved. Let us understand this. They say a word is enough for the wise. Let us understand the importance of women participation. Support women, build daughters that would be leaders, support women in these elections, especially as we march towards the next general elections.
Thank you. Cynthia Mbamalu, Director of Programs, Yaga Africa, thank you so much for joining us on the Crossfire today.
Thank you for having me. Have a lovely day.
You too, Cynthia. There you go, Lagos. Cynthia Mbemalu joined us. She's a lawyer. She's also one of the leaders of the Not Too Young to Run movement, and as well one of the movement leaders of the Ready to Run campaign. Let's go to break. It's just a short break. When we return from this break, we'll play our game and see who will win 10,000 Naira today on the Morning Crossfire. Ah, I can't wait. It's not the usual questions, though, so you better be ready. And we're not taking just one player. We'll take about two or three players, depending on what time permits. We'll be right back.
This is an infomercial.
This is a public service announcement. Ongoing recruitment for an independent brand manager at an international company.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.